God has taken Max and Sherry Griner on an incredible spiritual journey, resulting in literally hundreds of authentic, documented miracles. The Griners' continuing spiritual pilgrimage, which began in September of 1976, has been the subject of newspaper, magazine, book, radio, television, and internet coverage around the world. In 1989, the artist began receiving invitations to share his remarkable testimonies at meetings, churches, universities, and seminaries across America. Often, when Max would share his usual stories, the Holy Spirit would work more miracles as he testified about Jesus and prayed publicly. These classic messages describe timeless spiritual truths, which Max illustrates with actual contemporary miracles. In many cases, these miracles have been documented and witnessed by hundreds of people who were present at the time. If you have ever wondered if God still supernaturally intervenes in today's world, or you need your own miracle, or you desire a richer walk with God, the Griner's testimony will bless you. Max's powerful testimony and his internationally collected Christian artwork are well known. For more information on his art or other inspiring messages from the Kerrville, Texas artist, please visit his website at www.maxgrinerart.com. That's www.maxgrinerart.com. We believe God will touch you as you hear this testimony. We pray now in the name of Jesus Christ that the following true testimony will be used by God to bless you more than you can imagine. In Christ's name pray. Amen.
On March the 1st, 2000, I received a message that Dr. Bob Shattles had called me and wanted to speak with me, and he was in Texas speaking at a number of churches, and Bob and I had heard about each other and had spoken on the phone once or twice before, but we'd never met. And I just returned from being on several trips and was only home a short time when the call came in. Now, Bob is the Southern Baptist pastor who has been having a similar vision of Christ returning in glory on the white horse like I've had, and his vision basically has been the same as mine, except the horse is not reared up yet. And Bob's vision even had the sword and the shofar and the robe, just the way that my sculpture, The Coming King, depicts this scene. My vision first occurred on June 8th, 1999, when God first gave me the picture and the direction to do the sculpture of Christ returning in glory. And I was giving a tour at the time in my studio to a friend and Christian brother, Dick Schumann. Anyways, Bob originally was an Atlanta policeman, a sergeant, and did that for years. And he eventually went into the ministry, and one of the things that convinced him, he had been getting a call from the Lord to leave police work and go into the ministry. And then one day a guy ran up to the police car that he was sitting in with another officer and fired, I believe it was five or six bullets out of a .45 revolver into Bob's chest at point blank range. And God miraculously protected Bob, and even though the police and the forensic people pulled the bullets out of the back of his chair, somehow the bullets were able to pass through his body without touching him. And after this miracle, the Holy Spirit convinced Bob that he needed to be in the ministry, and that was where Bob went. So there's quite a heavy anointing on Bob now, and the golden glory dust miracle has been following Bob for several years, and before we even knew about it, he had Ruth Ward Heflin pray for him back in early 1998 or 1997, I believe. And since then, I believe he's now, at this point in time, led over 200,000 people to Christ using the miracle of the golden glory dust that God just pours out on him in quite an amazing quantity. He's had lots of miracles and people healed, and even five people raised from the dead that were witnessed by doctors and other people. So he's had quite an amazing career as a pastor after he left the police work. But the message that I had from Bob was to call him back because he wanted me to meet him at one of his speaking locations in Texas. And at the time, he was in Abilene when he called. And so when I spoke to him, and I had put the fleece out, though, and I just told the Lord, I said, Lord, if you want me to meet Bob, then let him have some time where we could actually meet and have some private time together. And also make sure that Sherry would approve of me going, even though I'd been out of town quite a bit. So I called Bob back, and sure enough, he said that he was free that night and would be free until lunch tomorrow and that we could spend all that time together. And so then I asked my wife, Sherry, and she said I should go. And so with those two confirmations, I jumped in the car and drove. As a matter of fact, before I left, and I told Bob after I got my confirmations, I called him back and I said, I'll be there by 8:30. And I really didn't have any idea how far Abilene was from Kerrville, Texas. But anyways, I got in the car at 5:30 and left Kerrville. And I arrived in Abilene at 8:30 on the dot, which was just to me another confirmation that the Lord was in this. But we did meet Bob and had dinner and prayed together and shared together and fellowshiped and really got to know each other a little bit. And then we went back to the room, motel room, and he called Ruth Ward Heflin and told her that she needed to talk to me. And so even though Ruth and I had corresponded by letter, we had never spoken in person. And so I spoke with Ruth for about 20 minutes, and she prayed for me and my family, and I prayed for her. Bob Shells also decided to call Pastor Scott Beard, who was the pastor of Emmanuel Fellowship Church there in Abilene, who had invited Bob to speak. And Bob told Scott that I was there in the room with him and was staying with him and would be at the meeting the next evening. And Bob later told me that Scott's heart leaped when he heard that, because as God would have it, somebody had given Pastor Beard one of my testimony tapes, and he had just listened to it. And before that, he didn't know me from Adam, but suddenly he had Bob Shadows and I together at the same time, and he did invite me to share a testimony at the meeting that night, that next night, prior to Bob speaking. So the next day, we Bob and I share some more and get to know each other better, and go out even to Hardin-Simmons and talk to the president at Hardin-Simmons College and share with him about the miracles that have been happening. And then at 6:15 p.m., we went to the lobby of the motel that we were staying to get ready for a ride that was going to come and take us out to the fairgrounds, because the churches weren't big enough to hold the anticipated crowd, which turned out to be over 1,000 people. But as I joined Bob there in the lobby, I looked around, and there was gold dust, golden dust particles, like looked like glitter all over the coffee table there and the couch and the floor. And I looked at Bob, and his shirt was just covered, and his face was starting to sparkle. And it was quite amazing just to see right there where he had been sitting for about 15 minutes waiting on the car to come. God had already covered the area with gold. But we drove on out to the fairgrounds, and there were over 1,000 people there. And I brought my 1/6 life-size bronze of the coming king that Bob asked me to bring, and so I set it up on the table. And I looked down, and immediately God placed one big, large golden flake on the horse's nose, on the black nose of the Arabian stallion that I had carved. Right in the center of the nose was one golden glory dust flake. When we finally went over to sit down to get ready for the service, I was on the front row with Bob and about one person over, and as the praise and worship began, I started noticing an ever-widening circle of golden dust forming around Bob and around us in that area, and I watched it grow as we praised and worshiped to where I could see about 12 feet out, and it was just covering everything. It was covering the chairs and the people and the cameras and the Bibles. And I did bring my camera, 35 millimeter, and did take pictures of all the gold dust as it was just forming on everything around us. And at one point during the praise and worship, Bob leaned over to me and said, "Max, did you see that?" And I said, "What?" He said, "You see that angel throw that fireball?" And I didn't see any angel and I didn't see any fireball. And Bob opened up his hands and I looked, and there his hand looked like it had been splattered with gold paint. And he apparently had seen an angel throw a fireball, and he had reached up and grabbed it, and it exploded in his hands, and the gold was everywhere. Anyways, I remember saying, "Lord, I'd like to see one of those fireballs." And I didn't see a fireball. I didn't see an angel, but as I looked down, I watched God form five large particles of golden flakes in my hands immediately as I said that little prayer to him. But the praise and worship ended, and then I was invited to come up and share some testimony by Pastor Beard. And because I knew I was cutting into Bob's time that he was graciously letting me have, I spoke rather quickly, rapidly. So you'll have to kind of listen hard to hear this testimony, because I'm speaking fast and trying to get a lot in without taking up a lot of Bob's ministry time. So the message you're about to hear is that testimony that I shared on the platform prior to Dr. Shattles sharing his testimony that night in Abilene, Texas at Emmanuel Fellowship.
God's glory began just to fall on him and on the sculpture. This is a scaled down version of it. And I'm telling you what, you need to get up here and take a close look at this. It just brings chills when you look at it. The Lord returns. I think that's what it's going to look like when the Lord returns, don't you? I'm saying we're going to see the Lord return in glory and power and authority. So I want him just to come, Max Griner, to come and share a testimony of what God's doing in his life. Y'all give Max a hand as he comes. God bless you, my brother. We're glad you're here. Max has made several appearances on TVN and just some other doors have been opened. God's favor is on this man's life, and I just thank God I've had a chance to meet him. So share with us, man.
It's a privilege to be here. I didn't know I was going to be here 24 hours ago. Been gone for about a month and a half out working on the sculpture and doing 18-foot sculpture, Jesus on the White Horse, and I've got a stack of emails and letters and phone calls that I have a whole box filled up with it, and hadn't even got to any of them yet since January 13th. But Bob's call came in, and he invited me to come, and my wife and I said, "Let me pray with my wife," and she said, "Go do it," and so I'm here, and then suddenly I find out your pastor, by coincidence, got a tape that I had recorded, and so I thank you for the privilege to be here, and I'll try not to take too long, but it's pretty hard. When God does all this stuff, you know, you just want to tell everybody, and I explained to your pastor, I got, you know, about, 60 hours of testimony, and but I'm not going. He's not going to let me give it all tonight. But just real quick, let me just give you a little background so you can appreciate what's going on here with me. I'm fourth generation Southern Baptist, saved when I was 7. I kind of got tampered with by the Holy Spirit in 1989. Prayed for these gifts from the Spirit called in 1 Corinthians 12, and life hadn't been the same since. I'm a husband. I'm a father. Graduate Texas A&M, architect, but I really wanted to be an artist, and the Lord let me do that in 1978. I've been doing my artwork, but he changed my art from glorifying the creation to glorifying the Creator. And the mid-80s, God started working on me for ministry, and I didn't really realize it, but we started hitting a lot of trials, and my wife got a life-threatening illness. The economy crashed in Texas. 95% of my art collectors went bankrupt. Lots of them were oil people, and that put stress on the marriage, and everything was coming down. And then that's when God spoke in that still small voice and told me to do the sculpture of Jesus washing Peter's feet called the Divine Servant, which maybe some of you have seen around the world and in different places. So with that kind of beginning, God kind of humbled this artist that up until then everything had been great. And I didn't have any problems, and then suddenly I couldn't fix anything, and then God was kind of re-sculpting me, you might say. And it was at that point in July of 89 when we prayed for this thing you guys call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And And so anyways, right after that, some amazing things started happening, a real increased hunger for God and the Bible and prayer, and suddenly I found myself praying for other people, not just for me and my family, but for other people. And as it turned out, God began to give me messages for my art to share, compositions, and he's given me The Divine Servant, The Great Commission, The Fisher of Men, The Christian Butterfly, and now the Coming King, Jesus on the White Horse Turning in Glory. And I, you know, to everybody, I generally look pretty harmless. That's why I can get in so many places. You know, I'm an artist, I'm a Texas Aggie, I'm an Eagle Scout, Southern Baptist, and so, but they don't realize I'm an undercover evangelist. And, but God has given me a platform to lift up Jesus Christ in a lot of places that Pentecostals and Charismatics can't get in the door, but he lets me slip right in there and surprise, surprise. And, but I, you know, he's given me the messages to communicate visually in the artwork, but he's also given me a message, the testimony that's now come with it. And now, if some of you may have spotted me on the road, but I'm pulling an 18-foot trailer with my sculptures on it, the big bronzes, and we get to witness to people all the way wherever I go, and people are led to Christ and healed and all kind of baptized and all kind of things. So it's pretty exciting. The Coming King Commission, and really I wanted to share about that a little bit tonight because it connects with Bob here a little bit. In June 8th, 1998, at 7:30 p.m., Church of Nazarene pastor, former pastor Dick Schulman of Oklahoma came to my studio and asked for a tour, and I was building the studio, and he just, as we walked upstairs, he kind of just made a conversation and said, "What's next? The Coming King." And I looked down towards my sculpting area, and in that moment I had a vision of Jesus Christ, a sculpture on a white horse reared up about 18 foot tall. Now those of you that are Baptists know Baptists are not even supposed to have visions. And but that's kind of what it was, and it went pretty fast. And but then we both got excited, and my heart changed, and I prayed with Dick right then that, "God, if this is you, confirm it. If it's not, let it go away. But we want to know if this is you." But there was a fire in my heart. And then in July, shortly after that, July the 14th, 1998, I was at the Christian Booksellers Convention in Dallas. A stranger walked up to me at this show. I had all my artwork on display, and he said, "We've been watching you, and my board has just voted to pay you up to $400,000 to do a sculpture of Jesus with some other figures." And I said, "Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Boy, that sounds good. We're trying to build a studio, and my wife really wanted toilets, you know, and stuff in the house." And and so that was a big deal. And but I said, God then reminded me, he said, you know, in my spirit, he said, "I've asked you to do that sculpture of Jesus on the white horse returning in glory." So I said to this man, I said, "Sir, I need to pray about this. I can't just accept this. I've got to pray about it." And he was a little surprised. But I prayed with him, and I got a check in my spirit right then. And I said, "Oh boy, I hope that wasn't God." And, you know, but then my wife comes in, and we pray, and she's all excited. "Oh boy, we're going to have toilets at the house." And but the show ends at 6 p.m., and there's a bunch of buses. There's 20,000 people come to this show, and there's a bunch of buses lined up out front of the convention center. And I'm standing there with my wife, and we're all excited about potentially having a $400,000 commission. And a man turns and he yells at us from as he gets on the bus, and it turns out he was a Messianic Jew named Richard Honoroff, and he yells, "Max, Max," and he looked, and he catches my attention, and he said, "God's told me today what your next sculpture is supposed to be. It's Jesus Christ returning in glory on the white horse." And he yells that out, you know. Now, my wife had prayed, and I had prayed, "God, we need this real quick, real clear, nothing fuzzy, you need to tell us. This is a lot of money. And I don't know how you can make it more clear than that." Well, anyways, the next morning, Richard told me at breakfast that as he walked by my booth, God said, "Tell that artist you're supposed to do this sculpture of Jesus returning glory on the white horse." And he tried to tell me twice, but missed me. And so he didn't see me until that afternoon as we were leaving. And the one thing Richard did say is, "You better hurry up because there may not be much time left." And so I have tried to take that and do that and go with that. And God confirmed it, because $400,000 is a lot of money to us. He confirmed it dramatically several more times. As I was walking in, or at 6:45 p.m. the next day, I passed the Solid Light T-shirt booth. Maybe some of you know Solid Light Christian T-shirts. And the vice president of the company yells out and says, "Hey, Max, did God ever tell you what your next sculpture is supposed to be?"
Now, he didn't say, "Max, how you doing? How's the family? What's going on?" He said, "Did he tell you what your next sculpture is supposed to be?" And I looked at him, and I said, I walked over to all those people standing in his booth, and I said, "Well, as a matter of fact, he did." And I told him the story. And they're all blown away, and I looked to the left, and there's a man, looks like he's about to pass out right there. And I said, "What's wrong with you?" And he said, "All last night, I dreamed of Jesus Christ returning in glory on a white horse." And I said, "Really? Would you tell me your dream?" Because he got the motion picture version. You know, all I had was the still shot. And he was a pastor of volunteers, it turns out. Well, that was the next confirmation. And as a matter of fact, that night I called my dad and here in Irving, and I said, I told him what had happened about how God had offered us $400,000. But then I told him about the confirmations to do the other sculpture. And my dad told me, he says, "You better do God's sculpture and turn down that $400,000. And my dad's a businessman and a banker, and, you know, that kind of doesn't normally is his advice. But he said, "You better do God's deal and turn down that $400,000. Well, anyways, the next confirmation came as I was there in the booth, and some three women came up from the California ministry called Women's Ministries Institute. Patricia Clary was the founder. And she's standing there talking to me about my art. And suddenly, the shofar ram's horn is blown by that Richard Honoroff over in his booth 100 yards away. And the lady starts to stutter and stammer, and tears start rolling down her cheek, and she said, sir, I'm sorry, I can't talk. All I can think about standing here in your booth is Jesus Christ returning in glory on a white horse." And I said, "It's okay, ma'am. God's trying to tell me not to take the money." And and I explained the deal. And so anyways, I did go up to the man that last day of the show, and I said, "Look, sir, I can't take the deal. I'll be happy to recommend somebody, but this is what he said." And I explained, and he was stunned that God would first speak to somebody that clearly, and then secondly, that somebody would turn down $400,000. And the final confirmation was when Sherry and I got back to our home church in Kerrville at Grace Bible Chapel, and we sneak in the back, nobody knowing anything. We were gone for a month, and the preacher's preaching on the book of Ruth. And suddenly he switches to Revelation 19:11, and Jesus returning in glory on the white horse. And my wife and I look at each other, and then he says, he begins with closing prayer, and he says, "Thank you, God, for delivering a clear word of prophecy." And so that was the commissioning of the coming king, and I'm working on that now, and the process has started. July 19th, I began with prayer and Bible research and a sketch, and I felt like God didn't want me to add anything to the composition, but only to do what is in the scripture, and so I did not use my artistic license to add a bunch of stuff. But I really researched it and had a lot of people praying for me and helping me. So with my composition, this version, you'll not see things that I can't back up scripturally. I have that in my literature. The depiction of it is, of course, the stallion reared up. And Bob Shadows is going to explain in a few minutes. He's been getting a similar vision repeatedly. Same identical composition, except his stallion is down paw on the ground. And so here's God's given two Baptists, Southern Baptists, this vision of Jesus on the white horse and called us to do it. Me share it visually and Bob share it through his ministry. But the white horse, I have done the research on it, and it's I'm using an Egyptian Arabian, because they're the oldest breed of a horse that's in the country, or it's in the world. And the flowing robe is going to have King of Kings and Lord of Lords in Hebrew written on the back. And the inner garment is going to have the titsit, little tassels, the knots that are the names of God. And all the Jews will recognize the names of God that are going to be across his thigh in that. So I've tried to do that in the shofar, and I'm not going to go into all the details, but I've tried to get everything in there, the crown, and to make it what God wanted. And I hope he's going to be pleased with it. I have been working on the 18-foot sculpture and the smaller versions out at my foundry in Wyoming. It's so big that I'm having to work out there. And TBN did order the number one casting out for California, which we really thank the Lord for, especially after turning down the $400,000. It was nice that he did have somebody in mind. And but we're doing various sizes and various mediums, and I'll be doing drawings and paintings. But all of them will communicate the message that Jesus is coming back. And I just would appreciate prayers that y'all might lift up for me and my family, because we've been under a considerable demonic attack at our house and against our family. And I don't think the devil wants this done, and he's doing everything he can do to stop me and my family. So I appreciate your prayers. The way this also ties with Bob is we were in some of this warfare under demonic attack against my wife and my family back in March of 99. And I was up in the room praying in dark in tongues. And I'd already cast everything I knew to cast and pray everything I knew to pray.
and it wasn't working, and we were under attack, and all of a sudden the phone rings, and it's my Methodist friend Jim Beard from College Station, who I hadn't talked to in months, and he said, "What's going on? God just called and said to spoke to me and said to call you. Y'all okay?" And I said, "No. How quick can you get here? And can you pray for us?" And he's kind of a guy that God sent into our life over and over the years. And anyhow, he prays for Sherry and I, and he says, "I'll be there in the morning, about 5-hour drive." And then he was almost an afterthought. He said, "Oh, by the way, let me tell you what happened to my wife, Darlene. She went to this meeting down in Houston with this Pentecostal lady named Ruth Ward Heflin," who I didn't know who that was at all. But he said, "Gold and dust started farming on everybody." And I said, "Now, Jim, come on now." And he said, "Yeah, I know." I said the same thing to my wife, and she showed me her clothes and her Bible, and it was all covered in gold dust. And I said, "Well, that's great. You got gold in College Station. We got demons in Kerrville, so get on down here." And anyhow, the next morning, I went down to my little unfinished bathroom prayer closet, and I noticed on the floor there were little golden sparkles. And then I yelled at my daughter and my wife. My daughter's 15 years old, and she came down and said, "Look, Daddy, they're all over the counter." And then we looked up the wall, and they were all up the wall and all up the doors. And the glory of God had come into that room, and and it's still there. And but what happening is we were a little confused with all this, and we started trying to get some information and found out about Bob and found out about Ruth, and even though we hadn't met them, and really didn't even know their story. But what happened is after that, it started farming on my wife and my daughter all the time, and they walk around all the time, head to toe, covered with the glory. Now, one thing different between me and Bob is I normally don't get too much on me, but where I've been going since this happened, God puts it on about everybody around us. In the last church I spoke at, he covered everybody in the church. I was just at the NRB booth, and he covered everybody that came into the booth. And God's creative. I don't understand this stuff. And at the booth at that CBA show, we did notice in July of '99 there in Orlando that there was two other booths where the glory was falling. Our booth where it was falling, and over at the Messianic Jewish booth, guys from Brunswick, Georgia, and over at the McDougall Publishing booth. And I didn't find out that till the end. I ran over there trying to meet this guy, but he'd already left, but he left his trail, and you could see that. But anyways, it was at that show that Dr. Paul Crouch walked up, and he looked at the sculpture, had the wax, and he said, "We want to have that." And then a life-size version. And I then was able, God gave me the privilege to share with Dr. Crouch about the glory of gold dust, which is the first time he'd ever heard of it. And it's, again, amazing to me that God would use a Southern Baptist guy to tell Pentecostal about this stuff. But that's the way God did it, But anyhow, on the way home, everybody we talked to about Jesus got covered in this glory, and we led people to Christ, and all kinds of things were happening, and the kids at the high school started begging for Bible studies, and my daughter would walk around, and God was covering all the kids, and they'd walk out in the sunshine, they were all sparkling. Have y'all ever had teenagers beg for a Bible study? But that's what was going on. And it just was happening, and it would happen in the course of us praying for whatever people needed. We weren't saying, "God, send gold." We were really saying, "God, would you help this person with this marriage, or help this person here, or whatever, they're sick." And then the glory would just form and follow. And but as some of you may know, I try to document everything that God does, because I felt like I was supposed to. I've kept a prayer journal since 1989. I'm on number 4 or 5 now. And I felt like, since this was real, that I should test it. And so I sent off samples that came off of my wall and off of my wife that formed on her to Texas A&M University, to the College of Geology and Geophysics at Texas A&M, and this is a letter from the head of the college, and that doctor analyzed what I sent him under electron microscope and under an energy dispersion chemical analysis, and I did not tell him where I got this stuff. I said, "I just got something that's kind of unusual. Can you tell me what it is?" And so he faxed me, and then he mailed me the pictures from electron microscope, and I'll show that to you right now. Here's one right here that's of the small particles. And then on the back is the bigger particle that you can even see the real thing right down here that was on my wife. But I asked him, I said, "Well, what is it?" And he says, "Well, we don't know exactly what it is. It looks like you've got into some kind of manufactured glitter." And I said, "Oh, okay." And I said, "Well, what kind of metal is it?" And he said, "Well, we don't know what kind of metal it is. It doesn't line up on the metal charts." And I said, "Well, you say here it's called plastic coated with metal. Why do you call it plastic?"
And he said, well, the molecular structure shows that it's organic and oil-based. Now, the man was not a believer. You know, to us, oil means the Holy Spirit. Any non-believer is going to call it plastic because it's the molecular structure of oil. Okay, so that wasn't a problem to me, but it came a pretty big problem to him. And because then I explained where I got this stuff. And he got real quiet on the phone. And I had a chance to share the gospel with this man. And one interesting thing, as you can see from the photograph, the thousands of small ones that we have are, they're all square. And does anybody remember what the Bible says is square based on the geometry of the square? The Holy of Holies and the Temple and the New Jerusalem. Now, isn't that interesting that God chose to make these little tiny particles square? Now, certainly there are other shapes, like this other big one that came on my wife was, an odd shape. But the, what we're getting in the majority are little tiny square particles. So, what I would like to encourage everybody here is, you know, I've read some stuff, and some people are saying they're afraid to test it, they're afraid to question it. Don't be afraid to document and verify what God is doing in your life. What do you think the disciples did? What do you think Moses did? I mean, if they were here, they'd be recording it, they'd be videotaping it, they'd be doing everything they could do because this is real. There's enough fakes and frauds around. You know, if it's real, it can be tested and it can stand the light of day. So don't be afraid of that, okay? The devil just don't want you to have that good of proof. Because, man, when you show up with the documentation, it's awful hard to deal with this. And there's a whole lot of scientists that are right now trying to figure out what to do about this. So don't be afraid. And give them the evidence that Jesus is real in your life. One thing that I have found, by the way, probably most of you already have it already on you. You may not see it, but get under some strong light tonight, even if you go back home, an incandescent light, and you'll probably see it all over your hands and your clothing. Most of the particles are small, but they do get bigger, especially when you get around Bob. they do get bigger, but it helps to have a good light. So look at home. And we've also found that God tends to put the most of it on the people that need it the most, the young people, the children, and people that are non-believers, the atheists, the agnostics, the Jews, the cults, the Mormons, the Jehovah Witnesses, and so we found that is true. But with all of this, test the fruit and the root. That's what Jesus said. That's the test. And if the fruit is people fall in love with Jesus Christ and the root is Jesus, then it's a good deal. I'm going to just about through here, but I wanted to share a couple of quick examples of specific stories about how this happened on October the 12th, 1999, I had just been rejected by some religious leaders that I loved back in Kerrville, and they wanted me to stop talking about this, and I said, I can't help but speak about what we've seen and heard, and the Grinders are going to witness to the glory of Jesus Christ our dying breath. And they said, adios. And I said, okay. But that next day, I was at my sculpture table sculpting this sculpture that you see right here, and it was in wax, and as I sculpted it, the horse's hoof started to turn gold in my hands, literally turned solid gold in my hands. And I looked at that with astonishment, and I put down my jeweler's goggles that magnify, and the whole horse and all my desk and my hands and every inch of my clothing and my face and my shoes and my socks was covered with thousands and thousands of particles. And it was at that moment that the Holy Spirit, I believe, said to me, Max, I'm pleased with you. And I began to weep. And I yelled at my wife, and she came down, and God just boop, covered her just like that. So anyhow, I did put the socks and the dirty clothes because they stinketh in the underwear. But I did save my I did save my shoes, my shirt, my pants, and they're in a plastic bag out in the car if anybody wants to see them. So again, some more of that documentation. That's kind of how it's been going. And I can see little particles right here as I'm speaking on my notes. But he's been doing that, and he gave me the privilege to share with Dr. Crouch about it. And Crouch put this sculpture in on his set of the behind the scenes after the first of the year, the small one. And as he talked about Jesus coming back and about the sculpture and about the vision that Bob's had, glory started falling on the set, on him and on his guests. And then we were there a couple of weeks ago and did a show, and as I was there doing it and just talking about Jesus again, it started falling all across the coffee table. And Jan, I think she thought I was probably a fraud or something because she had been sitting back and really looking at me. And man, when it started forming on the table in front of her, you see her on the tape if any of you saw it. Boy, she says, here it is. And I mean, I think God convinced her right then that it was the real McCoy.
But I find it interesting that God didn't start this with the big name ministries. He started it with people that just love Jesus, and it's, you know, and a number of them are Baptists. And you know, it's interesting how God has done this, and now it is spreading to the big ministries, and so it's something that God's doing. Quick story, and I'll take another 2 minutes if I could, but I had a couple of Jehovah's Witnesses walking up to my studio in Kerrville right before I left, and I looked out the window and told my wife, Jehovah's Witnesses, and she said, how do you know? I said, I just know. I walked out there and I said, ladies, let me save y'all a lot of time. Y'all are Jehovah's Witnesses, aren't you? And they said, yes, we are. And I said, well, ladies, Jesus really is God, and he loves you. And I'm going to ask God to prove it to you right now. Jehovah, would you put your glory on those ladies in Jesus' name? I said, ladies, look at your hands. They turn their hands over, covered in gold dust. They look up. They look up, and they're shocked. And one of them goes, what is this? I said, that's the glory of the Lord. He just wants you to know Jesus really is God, and he loves you. And the younger girl goes, this can't be that. This has got to be perspiration. I said, no, ma'am, that's not perspiration. I said, Lord, put on her dress. And went down there, down her brown dress. It was another Jehovah's Witness looked at her, and I said, Lord, put on her red dress, too. And you know, all of a sudden, both of them were covered. And then I presented the gospel to them. And I said, would y'all like to receive Jesus now as your Lord and Savior? And they went, can we think about this? And I said, sure, you sure can. You know, God doesn't force people, and his kids are not supposed to force people either. But he just wanted to know he loves you. And I'm just going to pray that he convinces you of that. And so I don't know what happened to them, but pray for them, because God really messed up their deal that day. But I mean, it's been stuff like that. I had a Mormon dentist that worked on a tooth that I wouldn't get fixed when I was in Wyoming, and I asked God to fix it, and he wouldn't. I said, okay, God, I'm going to go to the dentist if you don't fix this. I went into the dentist. It turned out to be a Mormon, and I didn't know it at the time. I said, are you a Christian? He said, yeah, I'm a Christian. And he asked me about my work. I started telling him what was happening. I said, as a matter of fact, if you take off those rubber gloves and look under the light, you're going to see gold all over your hands. He said, what? I said, pull them off. And he pulled off the rubber gloves, and there I looked under his light, covered in gold. Well, it wasn't until I got back to my foundry that I found out he was a Mormon. And God had me witness about Jesus Christ to him, and God covered him. And, you know, the last little story I'll tell you is what happened at the NRB. I was at the National Religious Broadcasters in Anaheim, and that God put me right next to the State of Israel booth, the Jewish booth from the State of Israel. And God would send over those Jews one at a time. And, well, anyways, I can't tell you all the stories because they hadn't given me the time here to do it. I'd love to, but let me just tell you one. One came over, and he said, he looked at my sculpture. I said, thank you. And I said, do you believe in God? And he said, yes, I do. And I said, great, and I love your God too. And he said, do you believe in the Messiah is Jesus? He said, no, I don't. I said, well, let me just ask him if he would reveal to you that Jesus really is the Messiah. I said, Lord, would you let him know that Jesus is the Messiah? And he said, I said, now turn over your hands. Hands were covered in gold. He looks up at me with this real blank look, and I said, I've just complicated your life, haven't I? And he said, boy, you sure have. So anyways, I presented the gospel to him, and I did the same thing with a whole bunch of them, and even at one point the next day when I came in, he said, Max, the shock and the glory is still on me. And all the Jews in the State of Israel booth looked at him and said, what are you talking about? And he says, that guy over there. And so anyways, I prayed for all of them in the booth, and about 8 Jews standing there all got covered in gold in the State of Israel Jewish booth, and I witnessed about Jesus Christ being the Messiah. And so that's God. And God, you know, everybody came in the booth and got covered with the glory that we prayed for, including the president of NRB, Brant Gustafson, Dr. Gustafson, and the vice president, Michael Glenn. And so a lot of broadcasters know about this now. In conclusion, let me just tell you that I think we're in an evil time. That's pretty obvious to everybody. Evil is increasing, and I think that's one reason God's power is being demonstrated in such a dramatic way. It's a last day sign and wonder. It may be a mark. It may be the mark that Christians wear in the last days when all the Christians are going to have that. It may be the Shekinah glory. But use this manifestation to lift up Jesus. Don't chase after the manifestation. Chase after Jesus, who is the manifester. Okay? And if your heart is teachable, these miracle signs and wonders will follow you. If you keep a humble heart, then chasing Jesus, and he's going to follow you with the signs and wonders. Bob and I agree the primary purpose is salvation about this manifestation. Use it to bring people to Jesus Christ. And they're going to ridicule you. They're ridiculing me. They're ridiculing Bob. That's okay. Remember what Jesus said? You know, they ridicule me. They're going to ridicule you. And most of it's going to come, of course, from those well-meaning Christians. But forgive them and love them and keep doing what God's told you to do. Just remember to stay out of the false stuff and the counterfeit stuff. Test the fruit and the root. That's what Jesus said do. Jesus is the root,
and the fruit of the people coming to Jesus, okay? Well, listen, I thank you for this moment in time, and I just want to speak God's blessing on every person here and all the prayers you've been lifting up in your family. I just pray God answers them for you. Thank you. Love you guys. Bye.
Bless the Lord.
I noticed in the previous message that I made one mistake related to my vision of Jesus for coming in glory on the white horse. My vision occurred on June the 8th, 1998, not 1999. And this was when, again, I was taken, given a Nazarene pastor evangelist a tour through my studio, which at the time was being constructed, Dick Schumann of Oklahoma. And so my vision of Jesus on the white horse returning in glory, which I call the coming king, actually predated the visions that Dr. Bob Shattles started to receive from the Lord about Christ on the white horse. And God says that, and the Bible says that nobody can get to heaven that's not righteous. And the only way any of us can be righteous is through the blood of Jesus Christ, because he is the one that was perfect and is righteous. So, if you'd like to right now pray to receive Christ as Lord and Savior, then just pray along with me on this tape, because the Holy Spirit's with you right now, and he hears what you're saying, and all you have to do is mean it in your heart. Dear God, I want to be saved. I don't want to go to hell. I want to go to heaven, and I ask that you forgive me of my sins. I believe that Jesus is God, that he is the Son of God, that he died on the cross, he lived the perfect life, he gave himself up to death to pay for my sins. I believe that. I now put all my trust in Jesus Christ as my Lord and my Savior. Lord, I just ask you to help me walk the walk that you want me to walk in my life, and that you help me with all the different things in my life that you don't like, and if you would, just to work those out of my life and make me more like you. So I just ask you to save me, Lord. I put all my trust in you, and I just acknowledge you, and I will acknowledge you before men, that you are God. And I just thank you now, Lord, for saving me and making me a child of God, a new creation. In Jesus' name, amen.
The following message was given at Impact Ministries Church in Kerrville, Texas, on September the 3rd, 2000. And at the start of my message, I mentioned some of the difficulties and trials that Sherry and I faced this year. Sherry reminded me after the talk, I forgot to mention that our new house, combination house and studio, this year was hit directly, a direct hit by a lightning bolt, and blew apart the chimney and could have burned the place down, but God didn't let that happen, and destroyed a lot of electrical stuff inside, and messed up some of the roof, but we did not lose the house. But that was one of the other traumatic things that happened this year to this house that we had been waiting to build for over 20 years in this studio. And so Sherry wanted me to add that. So that's in addition to the things that you hear me talk about the difficulties and trials that Sherry and I have faced in this last 12 months.
Hear me? All right. When Richard asked me to speak, he said 20 minutes. I told him, first you said 15, then you said 20. And I said, it's going to take a miracle for me to only speak 20 minutes, and or 15 minutes. And then he said, okay, 20. So everybody, if you want to, you can time me in. It may take a miracle of God, but he's got plenty of them. So it's good to be here. I looked at my prayer journal. It was almost 1 year ago that I spoke here the last time. And since that September 99 talk, Sherry and I and our family has had probably one of the most incredible years of our life, but also one of the most difficult years of our life. And it was the year that I was able to create the Coming King sculptures, Jesus Returning in Glory on the White Horse. Just finished that here just a month ago. To do that, I was gone from home almost 7 months. I was back at times, basically from January the 13th to August the 14th. I was gone from my family and doing the sculptures up in Wyoming and also doing shows. And because the sculpture was so big, I had to do it up in Wyoming because I was working on an 18-foot life-size piece. That made it very difficult, and lots of warfare came against my family and still continues to come against our family. And I started fasting one day a week, which I had not ever done that before, but the warfare got serious enough that I decided to try that deal of praying and fasting. And so I am now a little more experienced at fasting. And then it was also the year that my dad died in February. And so it kind of puts a lot of things into one year for us. But literally we have hundreds of stories to tell of miracles and of salvations and of healings. And it's impossible to do anything but really kind of skim the surface of that in kind of a summary here. And if I get invited back, I'll try to break down more of the detail, because in the detail you get to see God, you know. And but so I had to kind of just ask God to, you know, show me what he wanted me to share tonight. One thing God did this year was he tended to multiply our testimony. And, you know, he's kind of in the multiplication business, and that's kind of what he does. He skips right over addition and goes right to multiplication. But we, it was a year where we saw, you know, we're literally hundreds of salvations and miracles, and the golden glory dust that I spoke about a year ago was everywhere. And, you know, the purpose we have discovered in this year, when we talked about it a year ago, for this golden glory dust, this anointing that God seemed to pour into our family, we have concluded is for evangelism primarily, salvations. It's a sign to the unbelievers, and we are using it as a vehicle to lead people to Christ. And it's pretty easy to lead people to Christ when God starts covering them with gold dust as you're telling them about Jesus Christ. And it tends to speed up the decision process. We've also found out that God's been using this as we pray for people and he covers them with this gold dust. It encourages people, Christians that are walking, that are having problems. And we've seen as he does this, sometimes it touches people very deeply because they're in a battle, they're in a struggle, they need a sign, and suddenly God gives them that. And I have dozens and dozens of stories about that. To others, Christians, it's a real challenge. It's a faith stretcher. I mean, a whole lot of people love Jesus, and they see this, and they go, you know. And then many get nervous because they just have never seen God show up quite that boldly before. So God has used us to stretch the faith of some people, and some people that didn't want their faith stretched, he stretched it anyways. And I'll share one story about that. And the other thing God's been doing with this golden glory dust is he's, as he puts it on people that were around, he's created opportunities for my family to pray for the needs of other people. And often they're already saved and born again, but there's an illness, there's a marriage problem, there's a financial problem. And now what I try to do is, as I pray for people, I just ask God, what's going on? What do they need from you? If they're already born again, God's having this divine appointment for a reason. And many, many times, there's a real need. And so we pray for that. And then the gold dust shows up, and it's a great encouragement to the person that's receiving the prayer. And so there have been just lots of opportunities now for us to pray, because we just kind of look around and see who's sparkling and go over there and you know, and start talking to them about the Lord and ask them what they need from God. And finally, one of the things that God's been doing with this glory dust in the last year is he has confronted a number of individuals on the issue of religious pride. And so we have some pretty dramatic stories, and I'll share one tonight that I haven't shared anywhere else. but how he's dealing with religious pride. Now, the methods God's been using with us in the last year was one of the methods is with this little church, this little flock. If you remember when I spoke a year ago, we recorded it on tape. I put that recording along with some comments and explaining what happened and then a prayer at the end of the tape, tape number 23, and I'm not sure, but there's probably thousands of copies of that tape around the country and the world now. And as people have been listening to the tape, God's been covering them in gold. and people have been getting saved and been set on fire by the Lord just by listening to the tape from the service that was given here September a year ago. And, you know, one funny one that you probably know, Chuck and Lorna Ham here in town, good Baptist friends, and Dr. Wayne Rux gave them the tape from this service. They plugged it into their Suburban on the way to the Baptist Glorieta, you know, camp in New Mexico. They heard the testimony. I prayed on the end of the tape. They turned on the lights in the Suburban, and the whole family was covered in gold. So that's that kind of thing has been happening. But those people, I'll tell that story because you know them. But literally, that tape has been shared with some of the top leaders also in the body of Christ, because we know a lot of folks. Once I go to these shows, and they're my art collectors and some of the top people you can think of. I've shared with them about the glory. God's put the glory on them, and then I've shared this tape with them. And at the end of the tape is also an opportunity not only to receive Christ, but to receive this empowerment of the Holy Spirit we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit. And so a whole lot of people got covered with gold and then prayed for the baptism of the Holy Spirit, and some of them weren't intending to do that. But the Holy Spirit just kind of touched them. So it's been by tape that God has spread this. Also by phone. We've had people, as we talked to on the telephone, God has covered them on the other end of the phone line as we tell them about Jesus, whether they're believers or non-believers alike. And we had just here recently a lady, a Roman Catholic lady, Lynn Smith, that's with the Catholic Health Institute. She told all the rest of the Roman Catholics up there on the eighth floor, but it probably was good. And then we've had other people. We had one young man that I can't tell you his name, but he's 40 years old. Our good friend Jim Breard was a friend of his and prayed with him. He got saved in College Station. He had all kind of problems, this young man. He not married. He had been going to strip joints and going to prostitutes and alcoholic and or alcoholism, or at least approaching that, abused as a young man, all kinds of problems. But God got him saved over with Jim Beard. And then he called me on the phone and said, you know, Jim told him to call me. And I talked to this man and shared with him a little bit about how Jesus could set you free from stuff. And so we prayed over the phone, and then I asked God to cover him with the glory dust. And in San Antonio, God covered him with the glory dust right there and set him on fire. And he called three more times, and every time he'd get covered in the gold whenever we'd talk on the telephone, and he'd going around showing everybody. And he finally came to Kerrville, and we prayed for him to receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, took him through deliverance and a lot of the issues that he had in his life. God covered him again in gold in his pants. And then after that, he started calling me, and he was witnessing to the strippers and to the prostitutes and to the people at the office. And so God's doing a major work in his life. And like all of us, there's still stuff to do, but God's made a major turn in his life. And all that started over the telephone. And then there's been the TV set. And now I know all those evangelists are on TV. That thing reaches a lot of people in a hurry. The first thing that happened with the TV this year is TBN, Trinity Broadcasting Network, and Paul Crouch, on, I guess it was January the 3rd, 2000, the first show of the new year, talked about my Coming King sculpture, Jesus on the White Horse Returning in Glory. He had the small 1/6 life-size piece, which you can see there in the back. And he talked about me doing the 18-footer that he had commissioned us to do the larger piece for TBN. And God had given me the privilege to share with this, you know, Pentecostal about this glory dust. He never heard of it before. And again, it's kind of funny, God using a fourth-generation Baptist to share with a Pentecostal about a wild, crazy deal like this, but that's what he did. Anyways, on this show, January the 3rd, behind the scenes, he starts showing the sculpture and talking about our testimony. And God started putting the gold on him right on the set, and all the people saw it, and the cameramen saw it, and people all over the United States. He made the mistake, or it wasn't a mistake, of course, but asking, has anybody ever heard of this, and do you have any reports, and is anybody seeing this? And people all over America started emailing and calling and faxing Trinity, letting them know that this miracle was moving across the body of Christ very quickly. And so, I don't know how many shows he talked about it, but over and over he was talking about the glory of the Lord and Jesus coming in glory and the sculpture. And then it was shortly after that, on February the 9th, I was there on the set, and I was in the studios in California. And God, as I shared testimony, he started covering the table in front of us with gold. And Jan, you look at the tape, some of you have seen the tape, but you can see she's been sitting back the whole time the show's been going on, kind of looking down her nose at me, thinking, this guy's a nut. You know, we got a nut on this show. And you can see her expression, but I'm just talking and sharing my testimony, and God happens to catch my eyes, and the gold starts forming on the table in front of us, and I just kind of casually say, yeah, there's some forming right there. Well, anyways, if you watch the show, you can see Jan. She looks forward, and she sees that gold, and all it starts forming in front of her, and she says, you know, oh, my God, look at this. And it just starts forming, and I think she now believes that it's real because it started forming right there in front of her eyes. But what those two shows did is they really shared with the world about this miracle that God's doing in the body of Christ right now. And because they go into all the countries of the world now, I think, with their show, they really, again, multiplied this miracle, and people all over America started getting covered in the gold dust as you know, these shows were on the air. Then just real recently, I did a television show up in Dallas with the Daystar Network and did a live show celebration with Marcus and Joni Lamb. And shared testimony again, just kind of what I'm doing right here, and then prayed a prayer of salvation, and then I asked God to cover people with glory out there so they'd know he's real, and to heal them and whatever they needed. And within the hour, they got 592 calls, and 85 people got saved, and all over America, people were getting gold all over their hands, gold and dust, this glory dust, and they're all kind of things. There was lots of reports of healing. Four people decided not to commit suicide. They sent me the report from the show, and they kind of track that because they have operators. But it was quite remarkable how people just reached out to the Lord, and all over the country, he touched them and covered them with this golden glory dust as he led them to Christ and as he answered other prayers for them. But we've also been sharing this again still in person like I'm doing tonight. And like yesterday morning, my wife Sherry, who was back there, wave, Sherry. yesterday morning, she calls me and she says, come look, see what's happening. And I walked upstairs, and God had covered the top of her neck and her shoulders with hundreds and hundreds of particles of gold dust as she was sitting there at the makeup mirror and kind of getting ready for the day. And then we've had old things like with her. It's really the glory is on Sherry all the time now, as it is with my daughter, Diana Shea. And Sherry's closet, he went to get a dress out of her closet, a leather dress covered in gold dust, the computer, the luggage. One night I just decided to go gold prospecting, and she'd taken her bath, and I decided just to turn the lights on and pull the covers back, and she had gold one end of her to the other. And then the other night I thought, now I haven't looked under the bottom of your feet, so I pulled her bottom side of her foot up, and sure enough, the glory came out on the bottom of her feet. And so, you know, we don't understand much of this, but it's God, and it's quite amazing. And literally, you know, you can take a shower, wash your hands, and it'll come right back. Our daughter, Diana Shea, she's back here somewhere, I think, trying to be inconspicuous. Can you wave, Diana Shea? Or point her out, Scott. She's with her boyfriend, Scott Anderson. There you go. She's trying to be a teenager, and everybody that has a teenager knows what that is. You know, trying to be a little aloof of this deal, trying to be cool. But that doesn't seem to bother God. Every time I've turned her hand over in the last year and a half, she's covered in gold dust. It's on her hands. It's used often on her face. It's on her clothes. So, you know, she's not going out there quite as boldly as that young man that spoke earlier this evening. You know, she's just trying to fit in. But anyhow, God's, anointing is there. But he did... the other night, a while back ago, she was in the Suburban, our Suburban, with Marque McKeska here in town, one of her friends, and she came in, and so they were sitting out in the Suburban at night, turned the light on, a flashlight, and they shined up, and above our seats in the Suburban, there was gold up on the ceiling of the Suburbans, and of the Suburban there. But also, she's got her friend Scott Anderson that's here with us tonight, and he was one of the young people that got saved and baptized in the Holy Spirit at the little God party we had out at our ranch here last year. But we went to the beach, took him to the beach here a couple of weeks ago in Corpus, and he was helping carry stuff in, rode in the car with us all the way, and he got out of the car in the sunshine, and he was sparkling. And so he sparkles quite a bit, too. So God's kind of taken the whole family, and then every day since October the 12th, 99 last year, some little particle has been on me, we found. Before then, it really wasn't every day, but at least one little tiny particle is on me every day now, I found. And I remember getting out of the shower here not too long ago, and I just, for some reason, just kind of said, "Lord, you still there?" And I looked at my hand, and a piece of gold formed in my hand. You know, "You're still there." You know, and why he has time to do this, I do not know. You know, but God loves his kids, and you know, and he's not a respecter of persons. And what he does with us, he can do with you. And he hears every single prayer you say. And I'm sharing this, some of these things, so you might watch in your own life, because this can just show up, and he's letting it be kind of subtle, and you discover it in most cases. Another interesting thing, as I've been watching this, you know, the glory has covered our stuff, our desk, our cars, our dog. Other day, I was at the Southwest Religious Broadcasters Convention, and I was holding a piece of paper somebody was asking me to sign, and I was talking to him about Jesus. And I looked down, and around where I was holding the paper, little tiny golden particles had formed on the paper. And I had never seen that happen. And I showed it to everybody around me, and I looked at the rest of the paper to see if there was any, but it wasn't. And, you know, again, I was doing lots of witnessing then. This is where we were really praying for lots of people. But the Holy Spirit's doing some quite amazing things with this. And also, I told you last year that the glory was in our bathroom, and it's still in the bathroom and still on the floor, and new particles come. But we found it now in the kitchen. And there's bigger particles that are starting to go up the walls in the kitchen. And I see I'm getting close to my time, but let me explain how it's also formed on some other people. We've had it, this glory, again, we're using it primarily in evangelism, but when I see it start forming on somebody at a restaurant or on an airplane or wherever we are at a show or something, then I know God's got a deal he wants to do, and all I got to do is figure out what is God's deal that he's doing and be a part of what he's doing. And we've been able to share with, you know, some real famous people about this. So we went by Jesse Duplantis' offices here about a month ago, where he's one of my art collectors and friends. And when Jesse came out, I said, "Jesse, you seen this glory yet?" And he said, "Only that little piece you sent me in the card." And I said, "Lord, let your son see this glory." And God covered Jesse Duplantis out there in New Orleans. And then as he gave us the tour through his office, I just blessed each of his secretaries as we went down the hall, Sherry, Shay, and I, and each one of them got covered in gold as we went down the halls of Jesse Duplantis' ministry. And then finally his wife came out, and God poured the glory on her too. Beverly LaHaye and her daughter came by the booth, and we shared with them about the glory, and God put the glory on them. You know, Dr. LaHaye has written the Left Behind book, and she's had a Concerned Women for America, you know, pretty conservative evangelical, but didn't slow God down. You know, he put it on them. Even the governor of Kenya, when I was at the Reconciliation Conference, I put it on him. Also, some people that are not quite so well known. We've had like the bank security or the black security guard that was in New Orleans, that when I was trying to park my trailer and with the bronzes and pick Sherry and Shay up from the hotel, and I needed a parking place, and asked God, "I need a parking place, Lord," and all there was a no parking zone. And I said, "Would you talk to that guard right there?" So I went over and said, "Can I leave my trailer here for a few minutes and go get my family out of the hotel?" And the lady said, "That'd be okay." Came back, got the girls out, put them in the car, and I waved thank you to the guard and the Holy Spirit. He said, "You go back and pray for that lady." So I got out of the car, went over to this lady, and I said, "Ma'am, what is it you need from God right now?" And she said, "Well, my house just burned down last night, and I need a place to live." And I said, "Well, God wants me to pray for you." And so anyway, so I prayed for her and her family and for a house and for the finances. And I said, "No, ma'am, you walk out there to that sunshine right there and stick your hands out there. You're going to see the glory of God all over your hands." And she looked at me like I was nutty. I said, you just look, it's going to be little tiny sparkles. And then we got back in the car, and I started pulling out of my Suburban in the trailer. I looked in my rearview mirror, and that lady was doing high-stepping, waving her arms in the air, and just a high-stepping like one of those football players after a touchdown. And I mean, so God, did a precious thing with her. But, you know, the stories go on and on and on. I mean, we share with lots of seminary professors and evangelists and college presidents and lots of pastors, many of them here in the Kerrville area. I will share with you one thing about the, how many more minutes? I got a couple more minutes? Richard, do I got a couple more minutes?
Yeah.
Okay. I got one head shaking no back there, probably my daughter. at the foundry where I worked on this sculpture, as I worked on it, God started doing just amazing things. The glory was coming out of my my hands and going into this clay of this sculpture, Christ on the White Horse. And I was playing praise music, and I was working 15 hours a day. But it was pretty spiritual time for me as I worked on this. And I was up in Wyoming. God put it on the owners of the foundry, the Paddlefords. A lot of the people live up in that area are Mormons. You know, I had the Mormons that owned the motel where I was staying came in and asked if that sculpture was King Neptune. And I explained, no, that's not King Neptune. That's Jesus Christ. You know, and they're supposed to be the Church of Jesus Christ and Latter-day Saints, except they don't have the same Jesus Christ. That's why they didn't know. But anyways, I share with them about Jesus. Jesus covered the Mormons with gold and really got them to thinking. And I wasn't able to lead them to Christ right that moment, but we sure confused some of their other theology a little bit. The Holy Spirit did. I had a whole high school class of kids that came up, and I was working on the sculpture, and I looked around there, and I said, boy, Lord, this is like a congregation. You know, I said, I was praying silently. I said, you want me to talk to these kids? Let me know. And the first question the kids asked, it was a high school art class, and they'd come out to see what I was doing, and they're in Lander. And the first question was, where do you get your ideas? That was good enough for me. You know, that's like sick them to a bird dog. And so I told him about Jesus, and then I asked God to cover them all in his glory, and he covered the whole class of 20-something kids with gold, some of which were Christian, some weren't. Many weren't. Many were Mormons. And also the bus driver and the Baptist teacher. And so it was quite amazing, and created quite a testimony for a number of those kids. We had a bunch of Baptist pastors, like eight pastors and their wives, that came to see the sculpture. They were coming to meet with the man that was helping me enlarge the sculpture, and was going to go to lunch. And anyways, I just shared a little bit about Jesus and asked God to reveal his glory, and he covered all those Baptist pastors and their wives and their children with gold. And some were happy and some weren't so happy. You know, that's kind of funny how that works. But some were really excited and some were really not so excited. Anyways, and also Salvations of the artists that were there that I met, and Salvations with us, the welders and the people working on the sculpture. And I'll just close with this one story, which really kind of drives home a point. You know, it's God wants unity in the body of Christ. He doesn't want division. And we have had quite a bit of rejection this last year from sometimes it's family members and extended family members when we share about God and this glory, from Christians, often well-meaning Christians, been quite a bit of ridicule from church elders, from some people that just aren't ready for God to be this bold. We've got now, I guess we've made it to the big time because we're getting now ridiculed publicly. We had a national radio show that did a little number on us, not as bad as he does on some, but you know, we got that. And then the guy wrote to Texas A&M University, to the president of Texas A&M University, and told him that I was a fraud and a fake and all this was fakery and I was using Texas A&M. And Sherry called up long distance to me in Wyoming and was, you know, real emotional and said, he's said all these things about you. And I got a little upset a second, and I said, let's pray. And I prayed, and as soon as I did, Holy Spirit says, I'm doing this, relax. And he put into my mind, and I told Sherry right then, I said, God's doing this. He wants me to write a responsible letter to this man and copy it to all the people I know in the body of Christ that are the movers and shakers that have the national and international radio and television programs and the big denominational leaders. And so I wrote this real long letter and sent the Texas A&M scientific test that analyzed this stuff. And so what the devil meant for disaster now, what God, I believe, did was warn a lot of the leaders in the body of Christ, don't go too quickly throwing stones at your brothers and sisters that are witnessing this miracle, because you may find yourself fighting against God. And so we've had a real good response from that letter. And literally, we sent it from everybody, from, you know, Dr. Dobson and Bill Bright and Josh McDowell and, you know, everybody you can think of and that we've had a chance to know and that collect my artwork. And even Josh McDowell came up and at the last show, and he says, "Man, I hadn't experienced that, but you and your family, you keep doing what God's telling you to do." And so I think God let us warn the body of Christ that this is His miracle, and don't come against it. Finally, I'll share one last story, and then I'll close. I was at the National Religious Broadcasters Convention in Anaheim, and as I walked in, there was a famous pastor there, mainline denomination, big church, drives a white Mercedes, and he said, "Hey, Max, how you doing? Dangerous question to ask me." And I said, "Well, pretty good, but I'm doing this sculpture, Jesus on the White Horse," and he's looking and he's smiling and nodding, and I said, "But he's been doing this real unusual miracle," and I started telling him about the glory dust farm, and he started squirming and getting real uncomfortable, and he said, "I've got a meeting, you're going to have to go," and I said, "Well, this is good, this is God." He says, "I don't care, you need to get on out of here." And I said, "But it's good, it's God. Look, probably it's already on your hands." And his wife held out her hands, covered in the gold dust. He looked at that, put his hands behind his back. Okay? Put his hands behind his back. He was wearing a black suit, black, looks like silk, turtleneck shirt. He said, "You get out of here. I don't believe in this stuff. I don't want any of this stuff. I don't want to have anything to do with this stuff." And I said, "But it's good. It's God. Thousands of people are coming to Christ through this miracle." He says, "You get out of here." And he stood up, or before he stood up, he screamed that at me. And I looked down. Now, this is a real respectable pastor. That's not supposed to be doing stuff like that. The one of the sheep, you know. And but anyhow, I looked at him. And as I stood up, God instantly covered the whole top of his stomach that was sticking out slightly with big pieces of this golden glory dust. I mean, like the size of, almost, it looked to me like the size of pencil erasers. I mean, it just was dozens of them all over his stomach. And I said, "Look, it's on your stomach." And he looked down with terror in his face, and he screamed, "Get out of here." And I said, I'm gone. And I walked away going, "God, I can't believe you just did that." You know, here was a guy that was rejecting, you know, me and the miracle and the Holy Spirit. And God just did that number on him. And so, you know, I got back to my friend Jim Beard and shared that with him. And we prayed. But what you have there is this pastor had apparently been for years and years and years teaching against the supernatural manifestations of the Holy Spirit. And instead of welcoming that when it showed up, he rejected it, you know. And we've had others that responded the right way. We had one lady at this last show that she was concerned about this wild stuff. She said, "All that falling over and laughing and all that kind of charismatic stuff's a bunch of junk." And I said, "Well, ma'am, some of it's junk, some of it's not junk. I mean, some of it's counterfeit, some of it's real, some of it's even demonic, but there is the real stuff." And I said, "Lord, show your glory." God covered her hands with gold. She looked at that, being a good Baptist, she still wasn't so sure, and she kind of got out of the booth. She came back an hour later, and I burst out laughing when she walked into our booth. Sherry was there with me, and her nose had turned gold. God had, like, he glued glitter onto her nose and her face, and I just burst out laughing, and she was crying. And basically, she said, "I'm sorry. I repent. God is still doing some stuff." So you have two responses to this. But the bottom line is the devil is trying to divide the body of Christ. He does not want us to come together. So the devil is making a real play to try to split us up all apart. But Jesus tells us to test the fruit and the root. And if the fruit is good and the root is good in Jesus, then we need to embrace it. And just my encouragement to each of you is to press into God. He's not a respecter of persons. And what he's doing with us, he can do with you. And he's a real creative God, so it probably won't be exactly the same. But just be willing to let him use you any way that he wants to do that. And don't worry about the ridicule of man, because if you worry about that, you're going to miss out on some of the most fun stuff. Now, can I close it with a prayer? You got another 60 seconds for a prayer here, Mr. Holcomb? Okay. Okay, Lord, I just thank you for this moment of sharing. Father, I just thank you for this little flock. And I thank you for what you did a year ago here. and what you've been doing since then. And I just speak your blessing on them. And I pray right now, Lord, that again tonight you'd cover everybody with your glory, and that they would see it, that they would lift you up, that they would use this miracle to witness to others. And I just pray in Jesus' name that you would get all the glory.